This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is all to the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North for the week of October the 17th, 2016, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like you to put your television on mute for episode 214 of TVA, the podcast. Greg, I am not in a hotel room in Toronto.
Excellent. I'm not in a hotel room in Toronto either, so that's good.
I was in a hotel room in Toronto last night, however.
Do you enjoy coming to Toronto?
Not always. It depends which hotel I'm staying at and who I'm staying at it with.
Right.
I think that's really what it comes down to.
Sure.
I had to refine it down there. So we got another kind of semi-loaded calendar to talk to folks about this episode. It's not as loaded as it was last episode, put it that way.
No. The last episode, there was a lot going on. There was a lot to discuss. So yeah, we're getting off a little bit easy this week.
Yes, but we're also going to talk about a couple of excursions you've had into TV land.
Yes, I've been busy, and I continue to be busy. At the fall season, there's lots of stuff going on in Toronto. So yeah, I've been buying lots of tokens and bumming lots of rides.
Oh, there you go, bumming lots of rides.
See,
it's like, that's all I can think about when you talked about, like, driving through Toronto. I thought about that old SCTV sketch where it's like, remember the Maritimers come to Toronto?
Oh yeah, they were doing the take on
wind Toronto, where the Maritimers are old, and they always get a cup full, but they never get a pot of gold.
Oh man, was that their take on going down the road? Was that what the skit was? Yeah,
yeah, and because I think that's originally a Stomp and Tom song.
Yeah, sounds like it.
You can edit and add it, and add into it. Got to put your attitude in. If you don't get at it, when you get to it, you won't get to it to get at it again.
I'll just sit here. If you want to keep going, you can.
No, it's okay.
All right.
So we'll talk about a couple of your token conversations.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And the calendar, and we've got some ratings news from some of the new shows that have come out. And we're going to talk about a very special conversation that you have coming up with a former president of the United States.
Yes, it's going to be very exciting. Good tease. Nice job.
Yes, you like it. Yeah, try. Before we get there, though, it is time, folks, for the beverage update. And I know the people have been waiting for this. They're excited. So in the beverage update... since we don't have to compete with the multiple beverages of Diane anymore, Greg, what do you have for us?
Well, earlier tonight at the event that we're going to talk about in a couple minutes, I had a crisp, cold Stella Artois in a bottle form. I only had the one because I wanted to be lucid for later on in the night. It was a little hot down there, so I did want to have more than one, but I didn't. I abstained. So that's what I had earlier tonight. Right now, all I'm having is boring water. So I definitely lose this week regardless because, like I said, the beer was earlier tonight. And I don't think that counts. I think it should be something that I have on hand. Right?
I mean, it's not artisanal water?
No. No, it came out of the tap. And I don't think Toronto water is artisanal.
Well, it's someone's artisanal, isn't it? I don't know.
It's not as bad as some water I've had, that's for sure.
That's true.
Some tap water.
When people think of, like, Hamilton water, they think, oh my God, Hamilton water. Hamilton water is actually very clean. You know, we have our processing plants and we clean the water. It's not like we're up in the middle of nowhere and you don't have any plants at all. So.
Yeah, it's not like Hamilton's getting it from an aquifer or a stream coming through the rock. What is that rock that you guys have? The escarpment. What is the escarpment?
Actually, probably get it from, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But we clean it.
Yeah, you know, most cities and towns do. I don't know whether Walkerton still does.
We squeeze a little bit of DD7 in it and we swirl it around it.
A little bit of bleach.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all good. You got to put the chloride in there to control the populace.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
what have you got?
So my drink this evening. So about a year ago, I went out and I was lucky enough to get a couple of bottles of a bourbon called E.H. Taylor, and I got the small batch and the single barrel. The single barrel, however, is the one that I prefer. And this year, instead of selling it in their stores, they had it via lottery on the LCBO website.
Okay.
So I actually had to put in for it, and I happened to win, which means I got to pay for another bottle of the single barrel. So if you don't mind, I'm going to let you know a little bit about the E.H. Taylor single barrel.
Please.
A la our best friend, Sam Elliott.
Please, I'll sit back.
The aroma carries lightly toasted oak with dried figs and butterscotch. One sip brings flavors of sweetness balanced with tobacco and dark spices. The finish is just long enough to prepare the palate for another sip. The bottle itself is a likeness to Colonel Taylor's original design used over a century ago.
Sounds good to me.
You like that?
Yeah.
Tobacco and dark spices and dried figs and butterscotch?
It's a lot going on.
It sounds almost like it should be like a song from Dried Figs and Butterscotch and Tobacco Dark Spices. Having kids drinking straight out of a bourbon bottle. These are a few of my favorite things. Anyway, folks, there you go. That was the beverage update. It's time to jump. Well, no. Before we jump to the calendar.
Yes.
You were somewhere earlier tonight. Like, this is hot off the presses.
This is hot off the press.
Whoa.
That's different. No, that's a different sound.
Okay.
That was a printer. That was a dot matrix printer.
No, a dot matrix printer is.
All right. Yeah, that was a dot matrix printer. Maybe I was doing a daisy wheel printer.
That's right. Yes, I will accept daisy wheel printer.
yes, I was downtown at Chorus Key because Showcase was doing. They were holding a screening for Travelers, which is a new Canadian sci-fi drama created by Brad Wright. Who, if you are a fan of Stargate, you know him because he's the guy that created and wrote all of the different Stargate television shows that have aired in the past. And this is his new show called Travelers, and it stars Eric McCormack from Will and Grace in it. And so they were holding a screening. They had the cast there. They had the writers. Kind of an interesting story because Brad Wright was he was the guy at the Canadian Film Center during a primetime writing program, and that was how Travelers all came about. It was with the CFC brings in an established writer to be their writer in residence, right. And the students that sign up for the course. They end up working with the writer in residence. And so he, Brad, and the nine writers that were enrolled in the course all worked on the first season of Travelers together. So it was really cool to actually have all nine writers were actually there in the audience, and all of the key cast were there as well. And it's a very well done show. It's all about a group of, they're called Travelers, and they come from the future to today, and the they have to save the world, and there are thousands of them around the globe. And the hook in the show, and what makes it interesting to me, is that the future people have perfected a way of taking their consciousness and putting it into the consciousness of people in today's world that are passing away. So the last few seconds of somebody's life, the consciousness of this person from the future comes in. Now, not only does that save them money when it comes to wardrobe and things like that, but it's also interesting because now you've got that consciousness in there, and so they're dealing with a new face, and they don't look like the way that they did in this other world.
So it's Quantum Leap.
Yeah, it is Quantum Leap, because that's exactly what they did with Quantum Leap. But there's a lot more drama to this. There's high stakes to this, Anthony. The future of the world is at stake. It was interesting to watch the first episode of a show in a theater full of people, because you've got everybody laughing at certain moments and yelling at the screen. Right. So that's debuting on Showcase. We're recording Monday night, so it's Showcase Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. And it's just Canada for season one on Showcase. And then later on this year, the middle of December, it'll be on Netflix around the rest of the world. So expect, you know, when you've got Netflix behind a project, it pretty much guarantees that there will be a second season to that one.
For sure. Now, would you call those high stakes rare or well done?
I would say that they are a nice medium. They're they're warm in the middle, well done on the outside, pinky? And nice and juicy.
Them, would you call them pinky?
I would say pinky. No brain. Definitely brain. Pinky.
The fact that we've gone about three levels down on this analogy right now is very enjoyable to me.
That's it is. And then we're finishing each other's sentences.
Yes. But it's a sad, sad day.
We're a couple.
Earth may end as we know it, unless somebody jumps into my body. Oh, Sam Beckett, where are you? It's time to close the set visit.
Ooh, unplug the daisy wheel printer. Sounds like you've got one.
I don't, but I remember it well. Having the Oki data.
Yes. We had one of those.
Everyone did. It is time, however, speaking of crazy. Oh, by the way, let me play this for you. This is absolutely awesome. I suggest you get this app. If you don't have this app, you must get it. Do you have an iPhone or do you have an Android phone?
iPhone.
Okay. I don't know if you can get it on I'm not sure if you can get it on an iPhone or not, but there's an app that I got. Let me see. It's called Pocket Sitcom.
Oh.
And so you load up this app, and I can't do it. I don't have it fed into – it's essentially a soundboard app.
Okay.
Sound effects. But, like, you know, so, like, after I say something pretty clever.
That's the best.
Or. Or if or for some reason I looked around the corner and saw you kissing somebody.
Nice.
So I've got to find a way to incorporate this into my sound system so I can just have it live for the entire podcast.
Oh, yeah. That'll be fantastic.
That won't be annoying at all. But speaking of sound effects, it is time for the calendar. So indeed, tonight, the 17th of October, was the debut of Travelers. On Showcase, and you saw the live. It's alive! I think a lot of people have been waiting for this. They've certainly been promoting the heck out of it. So.
Yeah, they have, and there was a fan expo panel that was apparently very well attended, and lots of questions asked, and so I'm looking forward to hearing what the fans have to say about it.
Right. And plus, Will is there, so...
You can't go wrong. He's also a producer.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Is that what it took to drag him back to Canada?
Yeah. The producer fee.
Yes. We're going to also make you a producer. Okay. Well, that's cool. So it's debuted. If you want to check it out, I'm sure if you go to Showcase, if you've got one of those on-demand services, you'll be able to check into it and maybe watch it on demand. Or I bet you it will come back within the next week or so a couple of different times on Showcase.
You can watch it on demand, à demand.
Oh, indeed. Tomorrow night, Tuesday the 18th, is the return of Mr. D, season...
Six.
12?
Six.
12-teen?
Yes, I spoke to a Jerry D, so we've got a story up on TVA.com that you can check out, where he talked about season six. The end of season five, Jerry and Lisa... who's the principal at his school. The two of them got drunk and ended up getting married. So they keep that storyline going for at least the first couple of episodes of season six. Mark Little, who plays Simon, had to do a little bit of Orphan Black on this season of Mr. D because he ends up playing two characters. He plays Simon, and he plays a character named Steven, who looks exactly like Simon, except for he's got floppier hair and a soul patch. You'll have to tune in to find out the reason why. And Jerry and I also talked about the Will Arnett adaptation of Mr. D. Will Arnett had bought the rights to do an American version of Mr. D that he was going to do with CBS. And unfortunately, that isn't going to happen. They did have a showrunner who wrote a pilot script. It was not picked up by CBS, so that project is dead. Jerry joked that it took about 18 months for them to kind of get that rolling, and then about 18 minutes for it to be canceled. But they're still shopping the show around to different countries, but no bites yet. And he also told me that the changes to the tax credit out in Nova Scotia didn't affect the show this season, but if they do get a season 7, it may end up affecting production on season 7.
I still maintain that with the amount of pilots that get made in the U.S., you could run a very funny and effective cable network showing just pilots.
Dude, I would totally pay for that channel. I would love to watch all the pilots of shows that didn't make it, or you know, the first episode aired and then it was canceled. I would just watch all of that stuff. I think that would be fantastic.
Every network does it. The major four networks do at least what, 15 to 20 pilots a year?
Yes, absolutely. Then there are all the projects that make it up to the pilot, and then like I would just love to read the scripts of the pilots that don't get made into pilots. It used to be that there were, you know, something like 180 shows were made, pilots were made for like 30 slots in the primetime schedule.
See, that would be such an awesome cable network. And the trouble is somebody is still probably obsessing about the rights to them, because one day we might make it again.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. There should be a YouTube channel.
That could be it as well.
Yeah.
And then if they ever wanted to, they could pull it. And they could each network could put it up on their own. Like, I mean.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's essentially what Amazon does, except they do it for the purposes of actually deciding which show is going to get made.
Right, exactly.
So. Anyway, there you go. On the 21st of October, the return of three, count them, CBC series. The return of Marketplace in its 88th season.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. It's Marketplace is one of those shows where once a year I'll flip past and I'll go, oh, this is really interesting. I should watch Marketplace more often, and then I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm the exact same way, or I make a mental note to watch it on the online the next day, and I always forget.
Exactly. I think it's a great show. I think it's a valuable property for the CBC. It's not appointment viewing for me, that's all.
Yep.
The return of Hello, Goodbye. Or as the Beatles would say, you say goodbye and I say hello.
Yeah, and they actually they got the rights to the theme music. I have no idea how much that cost. Documentary series filmed at Pearson Airport. It's an it's Canada's version of an international model where cameras, producers speak to people arriving on planes, surprising their family members by, arrivals and the stories of the people taking off and going to other locations. That's pretty much it.
So it's Hello Goodbye Canada is what you're saying?
Hello Goodbye Canada, exactly. That would be too long of a title.
Well, not compared to some of them. And also on the 21st is the return of the Fifth Estate, which is in its 185th season.
Ah, okay, yes. I think that's right.
I think it's started with the Gutenberg printing press.
It's been on longer than Canada's been a country.
Yes. Yeah. Or about half as old as Peter Mansbridge.
Oh.
I don't know. Anyway, The Fifth Estate comes back. Again, one of those shows I would never knock The Fifth Estate. I think it's a great show. I just...
Yeah.
Doesn't capture me.
Yeah.
And I don't know who it's targeted at. I'm 47. It ain't targeted at me.
No, me. I'm 45, and so it's not targeted to me either.
So you're starting... a bit thin on the demographics, because I don't think it's targeted anyone younger.
No.
So there you go. But it is on Friday night, where it's just going to get killed by probably a procedural on CBS or something like that. So I'm just saying. Play really well to people with aerials. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, wow. Well, I wonder what you were going to say there.
Yeah. On the 24th, next Monday... on HGTV, we have Property Brothers. Now, is this a return or is this the debut of Property Brothers? I thought it was an existing show.
Yeah, it is an existing show. It's a return. I just couldn't fit it on the line on my calendar. But the brothers, they renovate, they sell houses. They are an entire franchise. You can pay money to go on a cruise with the Property Brothers, with the Scott Brothers, and hang out with them and learn things.
Well, I could. but that ain't gonna happen.
Well, just in case. If you know somebody in your family you'd like to buy a gift for.
Yes. Do you like to buy a gift card for a Property Brothers cruise? The answer would be no. Also on the 24th, the debut of Tougher Than It Looks.
Yeah, and we pair this with the return of Canada's Worst Driver because Anthony Young husband is the host of both. Canada's Worst Driver, of course, takes the worst drivers in Canada and puts them behind the wheels of cars and puts them out on a track and tries to teach them to drive better and more safely in a bid to win the show by sticking around the longest.
Which is a lie. It's not Canada's Worst Drivers. Because Canada's Worst Drivers are children.
Oh, okay.
I mean, seriously, you put a one-year-old behind the wheel of a car, they suck pretty bad.
Sure. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that, but that's a very good point. All right. So tune now, in and check that out. Go ahead, yeah?
I was going to say, don't they take them out in the city too eventually?
Well, usually they show footage of them driving through a city on the way to where they get going. And it used to be, I'm not sure if they're still doing this, but they used to have them out on like a landing strip or industrial area outside of Bowmanville. I don't know if they're still doing that now. They've also filmed just outside of Niagara Falls, but yeah.
See, like if they're that bad a driver and to have them driving through the city, that's a liability issue right there.
Oh, it is. Well, and it also shines a light on the fact that anybody can get a driver's license.
Indeed.
So then that Canada's Worst Driver is first, and then Tougher Than It Looks debuts second with Andrew Young husband. And this is kind of like Dirty Jobs. Andrew goes and tries different professions. He trains for some of them over a couple of days and then tries them out, and cameras capture everything that's going on. I don't know of any off the top of my head. I do know there are some photos of him dressed up as a fireman. So I'm assuming firefighter is one of those Tougher Than It Looks jobs that he tackles.
Wow. You know what? It looks pretty tough.
High school teacher would be a tough one too.
That would be tougher than it looks. I am a high school teacher.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look tough necessarily. No. Yeah. See,
that's what everybody says. My dad's a retired high school teacher and everybody says, oh, anybody could be a high school teacher. I'm like, no, they can't.
See, a firefighter looks tough.
Yeah.
Like I would look at it and say, no, that's tough.
It's not right, tough. So it isn't actually, it yeah, tough. It's not tougher than it looks because it is tough. No, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. Like hockey player looks tough. Because I can't skate that well.
Right.
I played hockey for a lot of years, but I can't be a professional hockey player. You
know? So is it tougher than it looks?
Being a hockey player?
Yeah.
It probably is tougher than it looks. Okay. Because what you don't see is all of the off-ice training and stuff like that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I hope they're listening to this because this is gold. Right?
This is going to be great for season two.
Exactly. On the 25th, the return of Mohawk Girls, a show that has won quite a bit of acclaim over its run for the past few years.
Yeah, it has. Back for season four, four 20-something Mohawk women trying to find their place in the world and, of course, trying to find love. And we've got a handy season three recap heading into season four story that'll be going up this weekend, and we will have weekly reviews of Mohawk Girls. So, check out the website the day after. It'll be Wednesday mornings that those reviews will be going up.
Perfect. And that's on APTN because I don't think I mentioned that off the top.
Yes.
On the 26th, the debut of Rise on Viceland.
Yeah.
So first of all, you got to find Viceland on your dial.
You do, and you have to pay for it now. It's out of the freebies with Rogers Cable.
Ah, there you go.
So Rise brings viewers to the front lines of Indigenous resistance in this 8-part, 1-hour documentary series. Two Indigenous peoples travel to communities to meet the people engaged in protecting their homelands and rising up against the threats to their survival. That's what I've got the information right from the broadcaster, which is Viceland and Rogers. I have not seen a screener of this show.
Okay. Sounds like it could be interesting, but again, it's on Viceland, so you got to be able to see it.
That's yeah. Yep.
Some of the stuff might be on their website. I'm not sure. So there you go. The debut on City TV on the 27th of Second Gen. That's Gen with a J.
Yes. Oh,
that's so clever.
Yeah, this is created by and starring Samantha Wen and Amanda Joy. It is a coming-of-age comedy about two second-generation Chinese and Filipino-Canadian millennials and best friends. Boy, that's a lot. Experiencing all of life's firsts.
We've really niched down that demographic,
haven't we? Have we ever.
Wow.
Six episodes, 30 minutes. And this, I'm thinking, I don't have the documentation here, but I feel as though it was originally a digital series, and then it was like and then it was adapted into a full-on series.
You get the feeling that somebody in the network office said, "Could you make them transgender as well?"
just checking all the boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Reach everybody.
Exactly. Also on the 27th, APTN has the return of The Other Side.
Yeah, this is APTN, like you said, and this is about ghost hunters. I don't know, where do you stand on these ghost hunting shows? Do you like watching them? I love these things.
I can't stand them because I don't believe in any way, shape, and form that there are ghosts, so it has no interest to me.
Oh, all right. I'm not sure whether I believe or not, but I sure love watching these shows. I spoke to producer Jennifer Podemski about this show. She's the creator of it, and 13 episodes. We've got an intuitive in Jeff Richards, researcher in Michaela Shannon, and an elder and spirit guide in Tom Charles. And they go to some of the scariest ghost stories. They check out the scariest ghost stories in Saskatchewan, Alberta, and British Columbia. And this is a show with an Indigenous twist. I mean, Jennifer saw all of these shows, these paranormal programs that are out there, and always wondered why there wasn't kind of an Indigenous angle, because the Indigenous peoples have been around for such a long time and are very spiritual and have these stories. And so she decided to create her own show about it. And like I said, I like tuning in and watching this. There's also an element of history to ghost hunters, to The Other Side, that I feel like we don't get out of some other shows. And they also, some of these other paranormal programs, they kind of play up the drama with music and try to make it a little bit more interesting than it is. And the folks at The Other Side, they just let stuff play out. And Jennifer said there's some pretty compelling evidence, whether you believe or not, in the paranormal in an upcoming episode this season. So I'm excited about it.
See, here's the thing. I think that you have to have a certain element of belief to find these shows interesting.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't believe it at all, then it's just...
Right, you're wasting time.
It's bad drama.
Yeah, exactly.
If you do believe, then it's it can be gripping. I mean,
right.
You have to have at least that little tinge of doubt in you, and I think you're okay with it.
Well, when I see the footage of a real ghost, I'll let you know so that you can be a believer too. I'll try and convince you.
Wow. Well, there you go. Now, we could be recording on Halloween.
Yes.
There's a chance.
Because I get like eight kids at my house, so yeah, we could totally be recording on Halloween.
Yeah.
While I eat candy.
There you go. We'll have the candy update.
Yes, there you go.
So that gets you ready for Halloween. We'll see what happens in the beginning of November. And until then, we're going to close the calendar. There you go. First of all, we have a little bit of ratings news. We don't always get Canadian ratings that often, but if there's one person who digs them up, it's Bill Brio, and usually lets us know about them. I don't know where his secret sauce is to get all the ratings, but he informed us. We were talking a couple of weeks ago about how they've done so much promotion for Kim's Convenience, and he managed to get some ratings information on that.
Yeah, he did, and I know for a fact that he's got an inside mole at the ratings that are leaking it to him, but that's okay. Because he likes to share with other people. So, yeah, we were a little bit worried that Kim's Convenience, the bump from the originally from...
Blue Jays playoffs.
Yeah. It got bumped from the 4th to the 11th. It did not end up hurting the ratings for Kim's Convenience because they aired two back-to-back episodes on the 11th. And the first one got 840,000 viewers for the first one. That was at 9 p.m. And then at 9:30, it was 801,000 viewers. So a little bit of a drop, but both of those numbers, when you're in the 800,000s, that's very, very good for CBC. In contrast to that, the next night, Dragon's Den going into season 11 got 450,000 viewers. And the Romeo section, it was 159,000 viewers for that one. So that's a precipitous drop off. But that gives you an idea of the contrasting numbers of those shows.
I believe that the show title is now called You're a Precipitous Drop Off.
Aww.
Just saying.
I want them all to do well. So when I see numbers like that, it makes me sad.
All I know is this: if they're complaining about the episode two numbers failing, you really just have to blame the lead-in show. To be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's how it
works. Yeah, not much of a fit, is it? I mean, going from Dragon's Den to a spy drama.
No, no. I was actually talking about going from Kim's Convenience episode 1 to Kim's Convenience episode
2. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know, and the interesting thing is, you know, starting out on Tuesday night, it's going to be Kim's Convenience at 9 and then Mr. D at 9:30. So there right. You go.
So that was all the ratings news we had.
Well, the other one was on Murdoch Mysteries. You know, people always talk about Murdoch Mysteries and the ratings that continue to be gangbusters for that show. And Murdoch, the season 10 debut, was on Thanksgiving Monday, so a holiday, but didn't hurt the ratings at all. They got 1.1 million in the overnight, so that show is still going strong. So as the season continues to roll out, and as long as Bill Briou keeps posting those ratings, I'll make a note of it, and then we can talk about them as the season goes on.
Now, if people missed it last week, if they listened to our TV ABCs podcast, which is the one that happens every alternate weeks, we put out the first of three podcasts/sessions on the Murdoch Mysteries kind of festival that happened a few weeks ago. And the first one that we dealt with was the Writers Forum, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right. And then we've still got, one with star Yannick Bisson coming up. And then we've also got the panel with the cast and showrunner Peter Mitchell.
Right. So there you go. If you're a fan of Murdoch Mysteries, and I know Brent Morris tagged me on Facebook this week saying that the only reason he started watching Murdoch Mysteries was because of us talking about it on this podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. So there you go, Peter Mitchell. You can thank us for that paycheck.
Ooh.
Just saying. Now, I know you've got a very special event coming up this week. You know, it's not often that anyone on TVA gets to talk to a former president of the United States. But not only is Greg going to talk to a former president of the United States, but perhaps the greatest former president of the United States. So why don't you tell us what's happening in your world of interviewing coming up in a couple days?
Yeah, coming up on Friday, I'm going to be heading to lovely Milton, Ontario, which is just about, I guess it's almost half an hour west of where I live right now.
Sorry, did you say lovely Milton?
Lovely Milton, Ontario. Okay. Where they're
just getting that down for posterity.
That's right. Where they are filming, YTV is filming the next installment of Anne of Green Gables.
The Quickening?
Yes, Anne of Green Gables, The Quickening. I think it's Electric Boogaloo is this one, actually.
Anne of Green Gables 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, exactly. There was an Anne of Green Gables TV movie last year, and it is back for two more TV movies. And so I will be going to the set where I will not only be interviewing Ella Ballantyne, who plays Anne Shirley. I think I might be speaking to Sarah Botsford, who plays Marilla Cuthbert. But I'm very excited to be speaking to Martin Sheen, who plays Matthew Cuthbert. And of course, President Jed Bartlett on The West Wing. And I'm pretty giddy about it. Apparently, he doesn't mind talking about The West Wing. And that's good, because that's all I'm going to talk to him about. If I'm going to have that chance, and maybe, you know, if I'm not sure if Dave Brodbeck listens to the podcast or not, but if he wants to send me some questions that I can ask President Bartlett, I would be more than happy to pass them along.
Well, there you go. Oh, that's an opportunity right there. I think Dave does listen to the podcast fairly regularly, but you should definitely ping him.
Okay.
You should let him know, because he will come up with like the ultimate nerd question, because he's watched the series about 85 times.
Yeah, I was trying to decide whether I wanted to ask him or tell him about it, or whether I wanted to just get my picture taken with Martin Sheen and then just post it and have him find out that way.
Look, all I can say is this. If you can get him to sign an autograph for you, but before he signs it, if he writes down,
to Dave.
Let David be David.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Okay. I will do my. I'm not going to make any promises in case it doesn't happen, but that is such a good idea. And our other five listeners are going, who? What?
Exactly.
What?
So there you go. Anyway, folks, that pretty much wraps it up this week. That's not to say there wasn't anything else going on, but if you want to know some of the details and some of the stuff that we don't get a chance to talk about on this podcast, here's what you do. You go to tv-eh.com. It's the website, it's the blog, it's all of that stuff. And you keep up to date on a daily basis there. That's what you should do. Or you subscribe to it via RSS and you'll have it in a feed somewhere. And you'll get all of the information, because we couldn't possibly talk about all of it, Greg.
No, it's true. And then you can also, if you go to tv-eh.com, you can also sign up on the left-hand side. There is a spot where you can plug in your email address and you will get an email every day, Monday to Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. You'll get an email that gives you the links to all of the stories that that I've posted during that day.
And so that's like a daily digest, so to speak.
That's exactly what it's called. It is called a daily digest, the TVA Daily Digest. Thank you.
Who knew? Who knew?
It seems so simple.
It does. Now, if you also want to, you know, by all means, go to our Patreon page. If you haven't heard of Patreon, it's a way that people can crowdfund things like podcasts, like websites. If you enjoy what we do here, so that we don't have to start to sell advertising, because you know what? To be honest with you, I don't want to sell advertising. Greg doesn't want to sell advertising. That's not what we're here for. We're here to talk about Canadian television. But if you enjoy us doing that and you want to kick us a couple bucks to do it every month or so, feel free to do that by going to patreon.com/TV_EH and just share a couple bucks with us. That's all we're saying. I mean, and you feel good about yourself. You think to yourself, hey, I contribute to that show. I'm a producer of that show. We will send you an email saying that you are a producer of the TVA podcast.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, exactly. Why the heck not? Greg, why don't you tell people where they can find you when you're not here talking TV?
I am on the website, tv-eh.com. I'm also on Twitter, @TV_EH. I've also got my own Twitter account, which is @Greg_David. We're also on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube. Yeah, you can pretty much find us everywhere on social media. What about you, Anthony?
So you can find all the other podcasts that I do. Yeah, here's the thing. My website's down. My AnthonyMarco.com website's down.
What?
I know. So here's a little tip for you folks. For the past 2 years, I was actually hosting it, hosting my website via my Dropbox account, which actually sounds pretty cool. You're basically using your Dropbox as a content management system. And there was a plugin for Dropbox called Pancake. And all of a sudden, Pancake's disappeared.
Mm.
So I don't know what happened to it, but my website's gone down. It doesn't work anymore. So I'm going to have to put up a new website. So all I would say is this. If you want to find all of the podcasts that I do, one of the ways that you can find them is to go to reddit.com/r/AM podcasts. So for this episode only, until I fix my website, if you go to Reddit and type in Anthony Marco or you type in AM podcasts, you should find a list of all the podcasts that I do. Or that, instead of me listing all of the other ones I do.
Yeah, know, okay.
Tedious, so. But if you go to AM Podcasts, subreddit AM Podcasts on Reddit, then you can find all the podcasts I do listed in lovely reverse chronological order.
Ooh, I like that.
There you go. Of course, like we said, go to tv-eh.com to find all the news on a daily basis. I don't know, Greg. I think that's it. I think we've done our due diligence for the past couple of weeks. By the way, I am I'm slowly but surely building up the top 10. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. After one more title, we are going to have a top 10 list of the best podcast titles of this year.
Oh, okay.
And maybe we should have a special poll on the website. I don't know if anyone would actually take part in it.
But is that the name of one of the podcasts? A special poll? A
special poll. It might be. wow.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, we'll put a poll up and have people pick it. That would be great.
All right, say goodbye, Greg.
All right, bye.
And that wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.